What if we could love the way Jesus did? Passionately, faithfully, powerfully. What if the way we love could make a difference in the world around us? What if that love looked at everyone the way God does? A love which doesn't see the past, but is consumed by a desire to see people come to know Jesus. A love which is patient and kind, not envious or prideful. A love which puts others before ourselves, chooses peace over anger. A love which protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres. Do we love like this? Do we love like Jesus? Maybe it's time to ask a simple question. How can we love better?
This week is Valentine's Day. How many of you plan on going on a date in honor of Valentine's Day? Raise your hand. Yeah, several of you, some of you. They're like, nope, not doing it. You know, those of you that are going on a date this week, I wish you the best. And actually, I want to encourage you to not repeat the story of these few couples. There was a young woman who wrote this. She said, I met a guy on a dating app. When we went out on our date, he seemed nice, but he never stopped talking. After interrupting me for the third or the fourth time, I asked him, do you want to hear anything I have to say? And he apologized, and he said, you're right. I'm so sorry. And he pulls out a pad of paper and a pen. He then jots notes as I'm telling him about myself and whatnot. I ask him what he's doing, and he says, oh, I'm writing down things I want to tell you when it's my turn to talk again. Do you think that worked out? Probably not. Here's another one. This was sent in by a bartender who wanted to share the story. He said, a pretty brunette walked in and sat down at the bar, and I asked if she wanted to see a dinner menu. She explained that she was waiting for a date. The guy arrived with a big bag, which he sat down next to him. It was immediately obvious that this date was their first date. Their conversation was lurching from forced to downright painful. And then he reached into the bag. He pulled out an album containing his Pokemon card collection. He set the book on the bar and thumbed through each page, loving describing every card, attempting to educate his date. She faked an emergency and had a friend pick her up. He stayed, ate a plain burger at the bar, and I'm guessing both these people were in their mid-30s. Wow. Hopefully your date doesn't go like those. And you know, what these ladies both discovered is that these guys they were on a date with were not the same as them. They were really different. You see, we all have the desire inside ourselves to love and to be loved. And when it comes to loving someone, we want somebody who is like us, not someone who is different from us, especially if we're looking for that love that we can, that person we can love forever. But what about someone who is different from us? Is it possible to love someone who is different? Today, we're looking to ask and answer this question. Can I love people better? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you an opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your phones and pull up the Bible app. We're turning today to Luke chapter 5. We're reading out the New Living Translation. The words are going to be up on the screen that we're about to read, but we encourage you to look it up on your phone to see for yourself, to bookmark it, so you can read later all around us, because it's a great story. Now, when you came in today, you should have received some notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's some fill-in-the-blanks. Pens are available in the baskets underneath the chairs and row in front of you. The words are going to be up on the screen that help you fill in the blanks. And if you didn't receive one of those notes and you want one, if you'll raise your hand right now, one of our hosts will come forward and they'll bring you a set of those notes. Luke chapter 5, here's what's going on. Jesus is just beginning his public ministry. He's starting and he's picking out people who are going to be really close to him. We call them his disciples. Now, apparently he's got a quota that he wants to fill to reach up to 12 people who are going to be his closest friends, and he hasn't quite reached the quota. And so where we find ourselves in Luke chapter 5 is he's about to pick another person to be a disciple, and this next pick, very controversial. This guy is different. So Luke chapter 5, starting in verse number 27, here's what it says. It says, later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, he left everything, and he followed him. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat and drink with such scum? And with that, let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us through your word, and that you would help us to love people better. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. It is Super Bowl weekend, and here at Focus Church, we're having some fun with that. Thank you to everyone who wore red today. We said, wear red to support the Chiefs or to tell your pastor that you love them. And for those who did not wear red, I do not feel the love tonight. And now, if you're going for the Eagles, you know what? No matter what you say, it'll come down to the actual game. And I'm excited the game actually is coming tonight, and it's going to be good. Now, there are people here who would rather not be celebrating the Chiefs. You're like saying, whoa, pastor's wearing his Chiefs Mahomes jersey up there. You know, I really wish he wouldn't. I wish we would have got a good pastor that was like a Packers fan, but then you'd be asking for someone who goes for an inferior team, and that wouldn't be great, you know. But talking about the Chiefs, in just the last few years, the Chiefs have gone, they became the new America's team. Sorry to all the Cowboys fans, you lost that title. They became America's team, but then recently, they're now America's most hated team. They become the villains. Now, some of you don't like the Chiefs because they keep beating your favorite team, but there are others who are deciding to root against them just because you're tired of seeing them. You just want someone else to have a chance. You just want the script to be changed that, you know, you just want it to be different. Now, whichever side you fall on, this is what is true. We tend to love people who are like us, and we tend to not like people who are different from us. When Jesus picked Levi to be his next disciple, this really shocked everyone. And why? Simply because Levi was a tax collector. Now, here in America, we're not fond of taxes and the tax collectors and the IRS, but let me tell you, when it came to tax collectors back in the Bible times, this was a whole nother level of awful. You see, Israel had been conquered by the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire required that every country that now is under their domain, they had to pay taxes to Caesar. But they didn't use their soldiers to actually collect those taxes. They looked for citizens of that country to collect it from their fellow countrymen. And so there were Israelites who volunteered and said, hey, I'll collect taxes for you and give it to your country. Now, to the Israelites, anyone who volunteered to do this, they were awful because they were traitors. They were volunteering to do this for the occupying force. They're horrible people to do this to their own people. They were despised. They treated them like the enemy. You see, these volunteer tax collectors, they even had the authority that if someone didn't pay their taxes, they could have them sent to prison. And so the tax collectors of that time, they were very corrupt. They took the power, it went to their heads, and so they threatened their fellow, countrymen, they said, hey, if you don't pay taxes, I'm sending you to prison. And they would overcharge people and say, if you don't pay extra, I'm going to send you to prison. And they took whatever they collected extra and put it in their own pocket. They became very, very rich. They were hated. Even though they were Israelites too, just like the countrymen, they were hated because of their actions. They were considered traitors, the lowest scum in their society, and understandably so. And so you can see when Jesus asked Levi to be a disciple, he was picking someone so different that many couldn't understand. Why would Jesus allow a guy like him to be so close to him? Now, Levi, he was excited to be picked. And so he threw a Super Bowl party and he invited both his new friends, Jesus and the new disciples, and he invited all his old friends, which were all tax collector people like he used to be. In verse 30, it says, but the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat and drink with such scum? Now, hold on. I can understand someone complaining. We know how to complain, right? We're all experts at complaining. If we don't like something, we're like, oh, why does it have to be this way? You know, why does the Chiefs have to be in the Super Bowl again? Oh, I don't know if I'm even going to watch the game. You know, my Packers, they just can't even do anything. And why can't we just get a better coach? And, you know, why can't we just draft better and not get anyone hurt? You're like, we know how to complain, don't we? But how do you complain bitterly? I don't know. Like, bitterly, is that like you're doing it really annoyingly? Is that mean you're doing it incessantly? Like, you can't stop doing it? Like, it's it like, hey, you're getting really mean maybe with your complaints? I'm not sure. But these religious leaders, people who are supposed to be close to God, they referred to the people different than them as scum. And we're not talking the cool version of scum that we find in Star Wars, rebel scum. We're talking about like, scum. Ugh, scum. Like when you pull up the drain from your sink and ugh, scum. This is sad though. And why? Because Jesus wants us to view people differently. Shelley and I were recently talking to a social worker here in Dane County, and we were researching what does it take to become a foster parents so we can know better how can Focus Church impact foster care. And so we're learning about the process and learning things. And the social worker said, hey, you know what's really crazy about people who come forward to become a foster parent? He said, they come in and they are excited. They believe they're going to rescue a child. They believe they're going to do good. They can't wait to share their love with it. And then when they finally get a child, they have a problem and they find that they can't love this child. And they end up quitting being a foster parent, even though they had high hopes when they went in. They were excited. And they said the difference is that people get in love with the idea, and then when they realize who they have, the child may be different than them, and they can't find it in themselves to love this child. This child might be different in how they were raised. It might be different in the gender they expected or the age they expected or the race of what the child is or what their culture or their background is, what their belief system might be. And because they've had so many problems with this, they've come up with a test that they have potential foster parents go through to help identify, do they possibly have an underlying bias that would potentially result in them not being able to love a kid who needs love? See, they took a test that's been developed at Harvard to do this. And I'm thinking while she's sharing this, I'm thinking that sounds like the worst test in the world. Like, how do you even know if the test is right? And I'm just thinking, oh, I thank God that I don't have to take this test. And then she asked the question. She said, hey, do you want to try out the test? You want to do the test? And I'm like, I'm like, no, I don't. But instead, out of my mouth, it was like, sure, yeah, why not? And I'm thinking in my head, oh, yeah, why not? What if it says a lie? What if the test is wrong? What if the test itself is biased? What if it comes out that I'm biased and I don't even know it? Like, all my fears are coming through. I mean, like, I've taken lots of tests in my lifetime, but this test scared me to death. I took the test, got the results of the test, and I was relieved to find out that I'm in the middle. that for me, I do not associate a gender or an identity or a race or how someone looks as whether or not someone is good or bad. And I'm like, whew, I'm glad that's over with. But really, it does mean at the heart that it matters what a person does more than who they are. And but it's sad to think that we tend to not like people who are different from us. Now, Jesus spent a lot of time teaching, and one of his most famous sermons he ever did, he happened to be on the side of a mountain, so they call it the Sermon on the Mount. But in this, Jesus starts flipping the idea of, hey, you've all had this rule. You guys have had these things that you do. You have these sayings. You have these concepts about people who are against you, who are not like you and the way you treat them. And I want to flip it on its head. I want you to start thinking differently. So in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 43, here's what he said about people who are different. He said, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends his rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. You see, as human beings, we are selfish by nature. We ultimately only care about ourselves. We think when it comes to loving people, we want to love people who we like, and we like people who are like us. But did you hear what it said in verse 46? If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. You see, Jesus understands our nature. He understands the way we are, and in spite of our nature, he then says, hey, here's what I want you to do. I believe that because Jesus understands our nature, that's why he gave what he said is the second most important command. But even though he said it second, he said this one is just as equal to the first one. Last week we looked at the most important commandment. Jesus said himself that you should love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your heart, and all your soul. That's the most important thing. But he's saying, hey, there's a second one that's just as important. Matthew 22, verse 37, he says, a second commandment is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, when he's saying that, he's saying, I understand you. I made you. I know that you take care of, number one, yourself. And so I want you to love other people just like you would love you. I have a book that I want to recommend that you get and that you read. It's a very easy, very entertaining book. It's available in paperback. It's available as an ebook. It's available as an audiobook. It's available on Amazon. It's called this, easy title, Love Does. It's by a guy by the name of Bob Goff. Highly, highly, highly recommend. You better write it down, put it in your phone, look it up on Amazon right now. I think even the paper copies are selling for less than $6 right now. But in this book, Bob Goff shares these stories, these adventures he's gone on with his life because he's decided that he's come up with this idea saying, hey, Jesus wants us to love everybody. So that means we need to say yes, and we need to just do it. His writings about love have greatly influenced our church and made our church the way it is. And there's one point that really stands out as you were to read this book. And he says, hey, it's too often we look at people and we only look at their label that's been placed on them. That they look like this, they act like this, they believe this, they are this, they're from this place, they're a Chiefs fan, they're an Eagles fan. And he's like, we look only at the labels and we don't have any heart for who they are. And he just simply suggests this, stop looking at people for their label. Instead, use their name. Change it to their name. They're a person. They're a person with a soul who needs Jesus. And Jesus died for them just like he died for you. And he says that will change your whole perspective as you look at people. It's a great book, highly recommend it. You see, above all the differences, we need to care that everyone needs the hope that is found in Jesus. The religious leaders, they couldn't believe that Jesus would be around such scum. So they complained bitterly. And even though they weren't bringing this up to Jesus, it says they were complaining bitterly to his disciples. They weren't talking to Jesus. But Jesus knew what they were saying. You see, Jesus is fully God, and one of the attributes of God is a big theological word that we say, omniscient. Can you say that? There you go, one more time. You got it, omniscient. And that's just a big word that simply means this: God is all-knowing, that he knows everything. So even though back in the back, we have the Pharisees, the religious leaders looking back, complaining bitterly, oh, can you believe he's with those scum? Like they're trying to be all like hidden and against the wall and everything. And Jesus is like, I hear you. I know it. I know what you're doing. And Jesus comes up to them and begins talking to them about it. And they weren't even complaining to him. And he answered them directly. In verse 31 of Luke chapter 5, Jesus answered them. He said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. Wow. You see, Jesus wants to be around people who need him the most, and they know it. He would rather be around those people than around people who don't care about those other people. Think about that. He's talking about two groups. He would rather be with people who are far from God, who know they need God, than to be with people who think they know God but don't care that anyone else does. So, would Jesus be hanging out with you? You see, if we are to love people better, we're going to need to do it on a level that is deeper than our skin color, deeper than an occupation, deeper than our beliefs, deeper than our political affiliations. We need to love people's souls like Jesus did. Jesus said himself in John chapter 3 that God loved the world this much. He sent Jesus to this planet to save him. You see, Jesus came for you and I, and he came because he loved your soul. And in our innate desire to love and be loved, where it's easier to love someone if we have a commonality, if we're similar and we're not different, everyone is the same at the root level. Everyone has a soul who needs the hope that is found in Jesus. And that is why Jesus is hanging around with scum. And he's like, why would I hang around with people who don't want to be around people who need God? To show we understand this, we're going to need to make a declaration today. And it might look something like this, and it's found in the orange box at the bottom of your notes. It says that I will love people better by loving them like God does. See, when Jesus first came to this planet, most people missed out because Jesus didn't fit the mold of who they thought their Savior would be. They believed that he was going to be a king, that he was going to rise up and take over the throne of Israel that was promised, just like the old kings of the old days. They believed that he was going to be a rebel leader, that he was going to help start a revolution, and that he was going to lead an army that was going to defeat the Romans and get their freedom again. But Jesus didn't come like that. Instead, the Jesus they got was the Jesus who cared about people who were far from God, who hung out with tax collectors and corrupt people, people who needed God and know they needed God. You see, that day, as we read in the story, he picked a guy named Levi, who was a tax collector, who was despised, to be his disciples. And that says a lot. And that gives hope for me and you that maybe God would pick you to be around him too. Levi ended up being really special as one of the disciples. Jesus gave him a brand new name. He said, hey, you're not going to be Levi anymore. I'm calling you Matthew. And Matthew had a really important job and a big role, because God does tell us that he has good plans for us. He has plans to give us a future and a hope. And when it came to Levi, Jesus looked at him and said, "You're Matthew." And you know what Matthew did? Matthew wrote the book of Matthew, the Jesus story that we get to read about, that goes all the way from the beginning of Jesus' story to the end. And he points out every way that Jesus did fulfill every prophecy that he's the Messiah. Jesus knew what he was doing when he picked the different guy named Levi. But Jesus didn't fit the mold. He wasn't a rebel leader to free them. Instead, because of love, he came to pay the price for us. In Romans chapter 5, starting verse 6, it says this: "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might be perhaps willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." That's how much he loves you. So we ask the question, is it possible to love people better? And the answer is yes. But in order to do that, we've got to go past what we see and go to what God only knows. That everyone is a soul that Jesus died for. And no matter how far gone, no matter what someone's done, God can do anything. He can save anyone. And when it comes to loving people who are different from us, we got to love them as God loves them, that they were worth sending his son for. Before Jesus was arrested, he spent some time in the middle of the night praying in a garden. He knew what was about to happen. His disciples had no clue. They were oblivious. He knew that he was about to be arrested. He was going to be tried and ultimately crucified and put to death for nothing. But it was part of God's plan so that he could take on all our sin and pay the price for us. And he knew that God was going to leave him dead, but God was going to raise him from the dead on the third day. He knew this was all going to happen, but in the moment, he showed just how human he was. Remember, I said that he designed us as human beings, and he knows that we're selfish by nature, and we see some human nature coming out of Jesus in this garden of Gethsemane, where he's praying and he's realizing what's about to happen, and he's praying. He say, "God, I don't want to do this. If there's any other way, like this is going to be hard. They're not going to appreciate it. They're not going to understand. Like, why am I doing this?" The Bible says he also prayed this: "But God, it's not about me. It's about all those other people. I want your will to be done." It was God's plan, and he submitted to God's plan. I thank God here today that he did, because if he had not, we couldn't be here today experiencing the grace, the love, the truth, the forgiveness, the freedom, the purpose, the hope, the mission, the plans that God has for us that give us a hope and a future. We would not be experiencing that if he stopped. So that means he agreed with God that God's love for us was worth it, that we were worth it. You to bow your heads, to close your eyes as we take the next few moments to talk to God about this. God, you are amazing. It's hard to even comprehend the love that you have for us. Your son Jesus broke a lot of molds, did not do what people expected him to do, hung out with people that people didn't expect him to be around. But he knew the assignment. He understood the assignment. That he was here on this planet for everyone, not just a few people, not just the good people, for everyone, to make it possible that they can be forgiven and set free and made to be a part of your family. What great love, God, did you have for us? It blows our mind. So how can we do something about this love that you have for people? How can we do it as well, God? It's our heart and our desire to prayer today to love people better. Help us to see people as you see them, to see them as someone that you thought was worth dying for. Help us to see them as not too far gone, that there's hope. Help us, God, to see the commonality that we each share with each person that we meet, that we know, that we come across, that we're related to, that we despise, who's our enemy. That in the end, down underneath, we all are souls in desperate need of a Savior. So help us, God, as we decide today to look differently at people, not look at different people. Help us to love people better. In Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that just a few moments ago I said, if you came today looking for hope, that hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope here today. We've been talking about love and how much God loves you. God did so much for you when he sent his son Jesus to this planet. But that's only half the equation. God's done his part, and it's time for you to do your part to say, wow, I receive what Jesus did for me. I understand. I choose to follow. I choose to go all in. I choose to be yours, God. You see, we spend our lives trying to figure out things on our own. We try to be smart enough. We try to be good enough. We try to be nice enough. But in the end, it's not within our power to erase our sin, to be forgiven and set free from an eternal punishment that results in spending eternity apart from God in hell. We can't do anything except to receive that gift that God's already paid for with his son. See, today can be the day that you make the decision, that you say the prayer that changes everything about your life, that puts everything into perspective, that changes you, your trajectory of your life, that puts you on the path that God has already outlined for you. All it takes is a prayer, a decision. Saying, God, I'm sorry. God, I believe. And God, I decide to be all in. I want to help you with this prayer, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray this prayer out loud in bite-sized pieces. I'm going to encourage you to pray it out loud, repeating after me. But you won't be the only one praying with me. I'm asking the entire Focus family to pray this prayer with us together, because this is the most important thing we do here at Focus Church. We are focused on helping people find God's place in their life. So let's all pray together right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you, with you in charge, going all in. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.